Welcome to this city tour that will take you back to the dramatic hours during a hot summer day in 1888. My name is Sven-Åke Boström and I will take you to some of the most important sights that day. Let's start in the middle of the main square. And then when you walk to the next position, just put my voice on a hold. And when you hear this sound, you can put my voice on a hold and go on to the next spot. Point number one. Please take a stand in front of the statue of the former king, Gustav Adolf II. When you stand in front of his face and have the city hall, Stadshuset, at your back, open your booklet to the first page. There you have a map that will guide you through this tour. So turn to the next page and we will start with photo number one. This is what it looked like right here before the fire. The building on the left side was owned by pharmacist Peter Gran. After the fire, he built the house you now have in front of you on the right side of this block. It was built in 1891. One interesting decoration on this building is the vertical sundial that you can see on the top under the roof. Vertical sundials of this kind are very unusual. Now move on to the next spot at Olof Palme's Square, image number 2. Point 2. When you arrive to Olof Palme Square, walk on the pedestrian crossing near Restaurant Apa across from Skolhusallén. Take some steps up on the staircase leading to the church. Stop there and turn around and look back towards the Selångersån. On image number 2 you can see this view from late 19th century. The big wooden house used to be the city's warehouses. Goods arrive here by boats on Selångersån to be distributed by horse cars all around the city. After the big fire, new warehouses were built near the harbor. 5 were left and 4 of them were in the 1980s reconstructed to become the present museum and library, Kulturmagasinet. Now step down and walk on along Storgatan in the western direction. When you reach the crossing street Västra Allén, turn right and go down to the little bridge crossing Selångersån. Point 3. About 20 meters, 65 feet, to the left of this bridge stood the little wharf house where the fire first started. The small steamboat Selånger passed this location 5 to 6 minutes before the fire started. Sparks from the engine flew out of the chimney and landed in the grass. This was June 25 in 1888, a very hot summer day with a temperature around 30 degrees Celsius, 86 degrees Fahrenheit. The ground everywhere was extremely dry, since not a drop of rain had fallen for several weeks. An extremely strong western wind blew between and above the old wooden houses in this part of the town. It did not take long before the timber house was on fire. 2 persons in a little shop by Storgatan discovered the fire and struck the alarm to the police. The police forwarded the alarm to the fire brigade and the fire master took his bike to the location. As you understand, the fire brigade at that time was very poorly equipped. On page 8 you can see a sketch from the police investigation. The spot where the fire started is marked with an X. On page 9 you see an old photo showing the steamboat Selånger. Walk back upwards to Storgatan and turn left, back to the center of the town, When you arrive to the house of Tingsrätten and Polishuset, the police station, take the stair between those houses. Point 4. Take a few steps up and then turn around and look in the direction of Norra Berget, Northern Mountain. From a high position at that mountain, the photographer N.H. Nilsson took the photo number 4. You can see the smoke from the burnt down houses still lingering, 3 days after the fire started. There are many eyewitnesses who describe the horrible event and the chaos when people ran back to their homes trying to save some belongings. Even the firefighters flew the scene of the fire to get back home to their own families. Some described it as a firestorm that emerged through the city. A horrible roar filled the atmosphere around the houses that one by one was laid in ashes. Less than 9 hours after the fire started, most of the center was destroyed. Of the 11,000 inhabitants, 9,000 became homeless, and 5 people lost their lives. At the next stop, I will tell you about one of those persons' tragic fate. Now, go on up these stairs until you come to the pond called Bynsovska tjärnen. Point 5. On image 5 you see the remaining chimneys from the house of wholesaler Fredrik Bynsov. On your right side you have the magnificent building of Hovrätten för Nedre Norrland, the Court of Appeal. Feel free to sit on one of the park benches and enjoy the environment around the Bynsovska tjärnen. In one of the old houses on this side of the pond lived a female baker with the name Charlotta Eufrosina Askling. When she arrived home, the house was already on fire, but she ran into the house to save a wallet containing 60 Swedish kronor, a lot of money at that time. A young girl running towards the city to find her parents told later about her experience. She saw Charlotta running out of the house with a fire in her clothes. The woman threw herself in the pond to extinguish the fire that had caught her. Later, she was found drowned. At the right side of photo number 5, you can see Hedbergska skolan. This school building was the only building in the center of the city that was not affected by the fire, probably because of its isolated location in that area. Already the day after the fire, the city council had taken over part of the school building for their administration. They began planning for emergency aid for the homeless and how the city would be rebuilt. When the emergency aid was organized, help from all over the world started flowing in. From USA, Great Britain, Germany, Australia, and other countries. Let's now continue our tour. Leave the pond and go on to Rådhusgatan in eastern direction. Make a stop during your walk up to the church. The name of the church is Gustav Adolfs kyrkan, named after the founder of the city, 1628. Yes, it's only 2 years to our 400 anniversaries. Point 6. This picture shows the tent camp in front of the old church. The name of the old church was Lovisa Ulrika, the Queen of Sweden, 1751 to 1771. The day after the fire, King Oscar II arrived by train to Sundsvall's railway station. Freight cars came loaded with 100 tents, blankets and different kinds of food. The Queen also sent some good-tasting emergency aid, a few boxes of wine bottles. The king also brought some cash, 3,000 kroner from treasury and 4,000 kroner from his own pocket. Even more generous was the owner of a liquor company in Stockholm. He donated his entire newly purchased steam cooking kitchen for all homeless people to get some food. The value of that facility was 50,000 Swedish kronor. That is about 3 million euro and 3.4 million US dollar of today's value. The steam kitchen was placed on a small square near where the new warehouses later was built, the present Kulturmagasinet. Turn to page 14 to 15 in your booklet. An architecture competition was announced to build a new church. The winner was the signature Ture, which turned out to be Stockholm architect Gustav Hermansson. He presented a drawing with a magnificent temple with two bell towers and space for 2,500 people, the image on the left page. However, the church council in Sundsvall thought it was a bit too much. At a meeting in October 1890, it was decided to reduce the size of the church by 1,000 seats. Architect Hermansson had to make a new drawing, and the result turned out like the picture on the right. Or just look straight ahead and you can see that the church is still quite stately. Continue and walk on the south side to the eastern wall of the church, the one you see in the picture on the page 15. Point 7. You have now reached a staircase that lead down towards Skolhusalleen. Stay there on the top of the staircase. In the extension of the stairs you can see Kyrkogatan. And in picture number 7 you see Kyrkogatan, a photo taken from the bell tower in the old church. At the bottom right of the picture you can see the portal at the end of the street leading into the church. The picture shows how Sundsvall, before the big fire, was packed with small wooden houses. Some blocks down on Kyrkogatan you can locate two stone houses. The first house is the town hall with its clock tower, and second the bank house built by Sundsvalls Enskilda Bank, a bank founded by André Oscar Wallenberg, who 2 years later returned to Stockholm and started SEB, Stockholms Enskilda Bank, later Skandinaviska Enskilda Banken. Now, let's walk on. Use the walkway down towards the staircase where we stopped on our way west. Take a hold on the stop of that staircase. Point 8. The house on this page is Storgatan 33, the predecessor of the house you now have in front of you. To the right before the fire and to the left after the fire. On the picture below you see that before the fire this was the only stone house on this part of Storgatan. All other houses were built out of wood. Storgatan 33 was built by a man with an odd professional combination. He was a baker and a photographer. The bakery was located at Storgatan, and you see the sign for his photo company at the far right of the building. F.W. Hellberg's photographer studio. But he had the studio on the top floor. If you look at the large perspective windows at the top center of the house, faced towards Storgatan, that is to the north. The reason is obvious. They would just let in the indirect light and no direct sunlight, which would have created unattractive shadows in the portrait photographer Hellberg took. If you now look at the map on the first spread, you see that you now have to turn back south on Skolhusalleen. Go down the staircase and take right, and then go on until you reach the stairs in front of Hedbergska skolan. The school building you looked at on page 5, but now from the opposite side. When you reach the school, take a few steps up the staircase, so you'll have a better overview of the location. Point 9. Standing on the stairs going up to the school, stop and face Köpmangatan. You will see an interesting house on the right side. Illustrated on picture number 9 in the booklet, it's the old fire station. It opened 1899 and was in function until 1957. When a terrible firestorm hit the town, there was no chance for the poorly equipped fire department to save the city. A fire department that consisted of volunteers who provided for themselves, doing other jobs, but rushed to take the call when the fire alarm sounded. On that very day of the big fire, the fire chief arrived by bike to the scene. But after a while, the firefighters started to abandon their firefighting to instead run home to try and save whatever they could from their own homes. The nearest fire equipment where the fire broke out was equipment number 6. See picture on the back of the cover. Directly after the big fire, a completely new fire department was organized, and this time by a military model. It had much better equipment, and the main brigade was full-time professional firefighters. The picture below shows the provisional fire station that was built 1 year after the fire in the railway park at the central station, currently Casino Cosmopol. Now, keep standing on the same spot and just turn the page. Point 10. This photo is taken from a window at the top floor in the school. The remains of a building in the front is a building you have on your left-hand side. To the left in the photo, you see parts of the city hall, and behind that, the bank building by the park Vänggåvan. The street on the left is Trädgårdsgatan, and the street on the right is Köpmangatan. Here you see a part of the devastation that hit Sundsvall. Of the wooden houses, only ash remains, and the stone houses are completely burnt out. But thanks to good fire insurance, the town could be built up again into a new, modern city. The reason why most people had fire insured their houses was a big fire in 1803. Even then, most of Sundsvall Center burned. At that time, the city had 1,000 inhabitants and 900 became homeless. 85 years later, an even larger disaster struck when the city had 11,000 inhabitants and 9,000 became homeless. Then they learned the lesson and obtained good fire insurance. Now you will have to take a walk back to the main square. Meanwhile, I'll tell some other interesting details about the city's reconstruction. Start by taking the pedestrian crossing on your left and walk over to Skolhusallén. Continue on that side and walk back down to Kyrkogatan and then turn right towards Stora Torget, the main square. The 3rd September, same year as the fire, the city council took an important decision. They decided that in the central part of Sundsvall, only houses of stone would be allowed to be built. Hence the nickname that the city later received, Stenstan, Stone City. The decision also had consequences when it came to the population in central Sundsvall. It was the rich that took over. Naturally, the insurance amount were of great importance for the look of this new city, but even more so the fact that it was mainly the rich who ended up living in and building the new town of stone. Many residents with small plots simply couldn't afford to build an expensive stone house, so they were forced to sell and move outside the new stone town. The new buildings looked like real palaces to the people living in the city, compared to many of the old wooden houses that used to line the streets. The best example is probably the house on the west side of the square, built by Isaac David Hirsch, wholesaler, builder and property owner. He built the largest house but never moved there. Instead, he continued his business in Stockholm. But one of his tenants became the late well-known hotel director Oscar Knaust. An interesting detail with this house is that on the gable towards the south, you will find Sundsvalls and the northern part of Sweden's oldest café. A café that has been in operation since the house was opened in 1891. It was started as Mina Nordström's café, but has later on been named City Café. You will pass a café on your left in the last house before you reach the main square. When you reach the main square, you can start point recording again. 11. Place yourself south of the statue on the main square and turn towards the town hall, Stadshuset. On your right-hand side, you have the house which I just mentioned. If you look closely, you can see on the facade a medallion with the initials IH, meaning Isaac Hirsch. On the picture number 11, you see the town hall before the fire. In the middle, the bell tower that disappeared in the fire. The first version of the town hall was inaugurated in 1868. After the fire, the whole block was rebuilt. And you see how the town hall was changed if you turn to pages 26 to 27. Now continue your walk towards east on Kyrkogatan. Cross the Esplanade and enter the park Vängåvan and go up to the fountain in the middle of the park. When you are by the fountain, you can turn to image number 12. Image 12. If you turn to the northeast exit from the park with the fountain in the back, then you stand where this picture was taken. What you see in this picture is Hotel Nord, in the intersection of Storgatan, Bankgatan. The hotel was completely destroyed in the fire, as all other houses built in wood. The hotel and its restaurant was run by Adolf Fredrik Knaust, father of Oscar Knaust, who later came to run the famous Hotel Knaust. In Hotel Nord, there was a model for the staircase in Hotel Knaust, which has become the country's most famous hotel staircase. This picture is taken by photographer F. W. Hellberg, which I mentioned earlier when we looked at Storgatan 33. Image 13. If you turn to the south, you will see the bank house, which is on the picture on the right side. The bank opened again already on November 22nd, the same year, but then without the two towers that burned up. Below the bank house, a picture from after the fire. Now you can continue through the park down the crossing Storgatan, Bankgatan. Continue eastwards so you pass Hotel Knaust. If you feel like looking into the hotel and seeing the famous staircase, please do so. The hotel staff is used to tourists and other visitors coming in to admire the prestigious hotel and take selfies or group photos on the stairs. Then continue Storgatan eastwards to Strandgatan and the last block towards east in Stone Town. Point 14. Now you have arrived to our last spot. The building you see on the other side of the road
was a central station from 1874 to 1926. When the East Coast Line was built, a new railway station was built at the present location at Landsvägsallén. The station managed to escape the fire thanks to the railway park, which layers a shelter between the station and the rest of the buildings in the eastern part of Sundsvall's center. Therefore, this is the only wooden house in Sundsvall center from the time of the fire. Thank you for your interest in Sundsvall's history. If you want to know more, we can recommend the book about Sundsvall's fire, Den tändande gnistan, The Spark. It will be available as ebook at Amazon later this fall. Thank you, and please come back to visit Sundsvall and other city tours.